You got a good team going this morning. On the sound, a South African girl, and on the video, a South African boy, and in the pulpit, a South African boy. So you're doing good. So this service is going to be in Afrikaans today. And the Spirit will translate, and all of you will understand. Happy birthday to my friend Peter today. Sweet 16, I think, and never been kissed. And tomorrow, his sweetheart, Samantha, has her birthday. So that's well planned. You can't forget the birthdays. Happy birthday. I don't know who else might have a birthday. I'm not aware, but I know about them. So always nice to say happy birthday. Which one is that? I forget their name now. Julia. I always mix them up. Julia, yours is really sweet 16, right? Julia, happy birthday to you too. God's richest blessings to all of you. May God hold you. What a joy that we can celebrate these good things. I am really surprised at how many of us are here on this long weekend. Usually it's this kind of trek out of here and into the wild. We ended our series on prayer last week, but I want to urge you to continue what you started. As I said, go read the prayers and pray them. Make sure that every day you find someone that you can pray for. Write their name down. If you don't have that little prayer card, you can still do that. And go pray for them every day. What a glorious, glorious gift that God gave us, that we can do that. I know some of you bought that book that I spoke about, the 40-day prayer challenge, and someone wrote me and said, am I supposed to only read one a day? Because I'm right down to number 3 already, and I've just started. And I said, that's perfectly fine, but it is supposed to take you 41 days, but you can do it in a day, because it's really cool. It's really a beautiful book. It's still on our website if you want to go check out the book, and you can click on that. It'll actually give you a link where you can go and purchase the book. Do it. It's a good investment in your life. And stay on your knees. I think sometimes that's the one thing we forget. Can I remind you about prayer before we go into our sermon? I think we grow up a little wrong with prayer kind of being you have to be in a certain position, in your hands in a certain place, in your eyes. You know what? You can just sit and talk to God. That's perfectly fine too. I don't see him ever say, close your eyes, let's pray. Jesus says, let me teach you how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hello, what's your name? They didn't get that. You missed it. That's what God says. Just talk to me. Just sit down. You don't have to go into a position that's hard and difficult. Some of us struggle with our eyes closed because it just doesn't work. Just sit and talk. You can drive in your car and speak. Don't close your eyes when you're driving. That's not a good plan. Take that time. It's wonderful. And as you start doing that, spending more time, you'll find how God speaks and how His Spirit speaks to you. And sometimes you don't have the words and you just sit there and the Spirit will speak on your behalf. Thank you for being a prayerful church. I really enjoyed that series. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit. And I might have used this example before, but I still think it's the best example. If you're like me, you don't dance well, but I really like dance. And I got a little rhythm, but when I have to take Elsie and dance, that's when the feet just don't want to walk. So let's say you're like me and you can't dance. So you go and say, we're going to a wedding. Need to be able to dance, so you want to take a little bit of lessons, but you don't want to go to a dance school. Too expensive. So you just buy a book on dancing. Book tells you about dancing. This is how you do a waltz. This is how you do a samba. This is how you do a cha-cha. This is how you do a squiggle squoggle, whatever it is. So you read this, and the book teaches you the 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Okay, you got that, and you get the moves. So you got the book, you got the moves, you got the rules. And you got it down pat, and you decide, okay, I'm going to surprise my wife. Call her down, sit her down. You got your book. You got the moves in your head, and you go. And when you're done, you do a little bow, and you're thinking, she's going to say, that was amazing. And she's sitting there with this look on her face like, wow, that was weird. But she doesn't say that. What she does is she gets up, she gets the little Bluetooth speaker, she puts it down, turns it on, takes her phone. It's a button. She looks at you and she says, you got the book, you got the rules, you got the moves. But you forgot the most important part. You didn't have the music. And she plays the music and she says, come here. Just take me in your arms. Hold tight. Listen to the music. And let the music work. And there the two of you start going. And the music takes over. And you dance. Why do I start like this? I think many of us live our lives like me and my book. We know the book. We know the rules. We know the moves. But we have no music. And then we go on to the dance floor of life and we want to dance the dance of life, but there's no music in our hearts. And we struggle because I did the rules, I did the books, I did all of the stuff, and I get home and I'm tired and I'm worn out because I have no music to dance on. Jesus knows that. Matthew chapter 11. Boy, and I really have to use my glasses for this because this is way small. Matthew chapter 11, and I'm reading from the Message. He says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Now listen to these beautiful words. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Come learn from me the unforced rhythms of life. Come learn about the music maker of God, because Jesus knows we need a little music to dance in this world. And his name is the Holy Spirit. So here's his promise. Here's his promise, and this is our scripture reading for today. It comes from John 16, verses 5 to 15. I'm reading from the New Century Version. Jesus speaks to the disciples. He says, now I'm going back to the one who sent me, but none of you asks me, where are you going? Because your hearts are filled with sadness because I have told you these things that I'm going away. But I tell you the truth. It's better for you that I go away. Because when I go away, I will send the Helper, big word, to you. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come. But when the Helper comes, he will prove to the people of the world the truth about sin, the truth about being right with God, and the truth about judgment. He will prove to them that sin is not believing in me. He will prove to them that being right with God, in other words, in the right relationship restored, comes from my going to the Father and not being seen anymore. And the Helper will prove to them that judgment happened when the ruler of this world was judged on the cross. Was done. I have many more things to say to you, but they're too much for you now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you into all truth. He will not speak his own words, but he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. The Spirit of truth will bring glory to me, because he will take what I have to say and tell it to you. All that the Father has is mine. And that's why I said that the Spirit will take what I have to say and tell it to you. I will send you the music maker. Here's the thing. When we speak about God, we often, and I made it a point of listening to how we pray again a little bit this morning, even when we pray together in the back, we'll often start with Heavenly Father. And when we ask you about Heavenly Father, you'll say, this is who my Father is in my life, and this is what the Father does. We'll often pray, thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you do. And when we ask about Jesus, we're all able to say who Jesus is and what he's done in my life and how important he is in my life. But we don't often hear Holy Spirit. Sometimes I think we don't talk about the Holy Spirit. I think once a year we remember. We put up red banners. And we say today is the day of Pentecost. And we think about the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of, yeah, he was poured out on Pentecost. And that was good for the disciples. And they became the apostles that were sent out to go do the work. And they needed him. But it's kind of the orphan child. Sometimes I think we don't even realize that the Spirit is a person. The old translation called him the Holy Ghost. And I always thought, man, that's a crazy name. Because when you talk about ghosts, what are ghosts? So what is the Holy Ghost? Is it this kind of force, this kind of strangeness? But when the Word speaks of the Spirit, the Word speaks of the Spirit as a person. Do we think of this Holy Spirit like that? Do we talk to the Holy Spirit like that? Because here's the thing. Do you realize that the Father sent Jesus? Jesus had a task to come and do. He came and he took our sins. He died for our sins. The judgment was taken away and we are now made right with God. But we struggle to live alone. So Jesus said, when I leave, I will not leave you as orphans. I'm going to send you one just like me. And his name is the Holy Spirit. And he will be in you and live in you like I am with you, because you can't do life alone. You need someone and he's going to be there for you. Do you get that? That we're living in the time of the Spirit? The Spirit of God? Can I show you something? Sometimes I think we get this wrong. Let's see if I can get this so that they can see it up there as well. Does it work for you? So, let's try. I'm not good at this stuff. Let's say this is God. That's just the Greek word theos. So this is God. So there's the Father. There's the Son. And there's the Holy Spirit. The Father is God. And we know that. The person of God. The Son is God. And we know that. And then we get to the Spirit and it's like, no. Like the Father, he is God. Like the Son, he is God. Like the Spirit, he is God. No, the Father is not the Spirit. Spirit's not the Father. Spirit's not the Son. The Son's not the Father. They're each their own person doing what they need to do. But we have this ghost. And maybe the ghost appears every now and then. No. Do you know what the Bible says about him? Let's run through it quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. Anyone know what it says? It says, the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals God's will for your life every day. You want to know how to live? How God the Father wants you to live? How God the Son wants you to live? How God the Spirit wants you to live? You ask the Spirit who's in you, how do you want me to live? And I'm going to get back to that in a second. Just hold on to that. How do I do that? The Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is the one who gives the spiritual gifts. Can you pray? Say, thank you, Holy Spirit. It's one of his gifts. Can you love? Say, thank you, Holy Spirit. It's one of his gifts. Can you care? Say, thank you, Holy Spirit. It's one of his gifts. He provides our spiritual gifts so that we can care for each other, we can love each other, we can be in this world. Here's a sad thing. Acts chapter 5. You can lie to the Holy Spirit. Remember, they were selling ground and they were kind of saying, we've done this, and they were lying. You can lie to him. You can only lie to a person, right? You can grieve the Holy Spirit, Ephesians chapter 4. Be careful not to grieve. Make him weep. Break his heart. You can do that. And maybe Maybe the worst one is in Hebrews chapter 10, where it says you can insult the Holy Spirit by the way in which you live, despite the fact that he lives in you. It's kind of scary when I hear that. God, the Spirit living in me, and sometimes in the way that I act, in the way that I live, in the way that I do, I'm insulting God in me. But it's not to scare us. It's to remind us. You're not living this life alone. Jesus put his Spirit in you so that every day, as you live in this broken, struggling world, you don't have to do it alone. You don't have to do the book and the little moves. You can put the book and the moves away and just let the music play. And let the music carry you. What beautiful music. When Jesus speaks of the Spirit, he says, and our translation here was beautiful, he says, he is our helper. And Ted, there's a little slide for this that you can put up if you want to. The Greek word for this is parakletos. It's an amazing word. Parakletos often, if you read the NIV, will be translated as the advocate. NCV translated as the helper. Sometimes you'll be translated as the intercessor, or sometimes as the comforter, because all of these are included in that beautiful word, paraklete or parakletos. It actually comes from another root word, which I taught you the other day when we were talking about encouraging. The word encourage in Greek, listen to the word, parakaleo, parakletos. Can you hear how close they are to each other? Parakaleo means to stand beside, para, and kaleo means to speak. The one who stands beside me and talks into my life and encourages me in my life. Can you hear who the Holy Spirit is? Your encourager. Your helper. When you do not know how to pray, Romans says, he intercedes for you with words that you cannot speak. He's right there saying, it's so okay, Aubrey. I know the words are not coming out, but I will speak for you. I'll be your advocate before your Father. When you mess up, he's your advocate saying, is that what I wanted? Is that what your Father expects? And he speaks. But he's also your advocate when the devil comes and says, oh, look at you. You think you can be God. He's the advocate who says, you get out here. You were judged on the cross and Jesus Christ died. You get out. This is my child and I live in him and you have no place. He's my helper. When I walk in this world and I don't know how to walk, he puts his arm around me and he walks with me. Maybe Peter, you guys who are struggling with after the surgeries, walking with your little cane. Here's your helper, Parakletos. The one who keeps you going, who's going to get you to the day where you say, look at me, how strong I am. But this one you don't throw away. This one you keep. Because we need him all of our lives. Here's a question. Why do you think you're able to love other people? Because you're so good? Because of the Holy Spirit that makes you who you are. Why do you think your language changes as you allow the Spirit to live in your life? Because the Spirit touches your tongue. And you want to say gentle words. And you want to be kind. And you want to love. Who is the one that makes you worship? Sorry, Gary, I couldn't help it. I watched you this morning when we were singing Holy Spirit. And at some stage, I just saw you and your eyes just closed up. And your hand was just going up there. And I'm saying, look what the Spirit is doing in this moment. Gary's not just leading us in worship. In this moment, she's worshiping. Who makes me worship? It's the Holy Spirit of God. What is so amazing? I couldn't do this without him. If Jesus died and left and just left us to our own, can you think where we would have been? how he would have looked like? Because I can't. Didn't Paul write that in Romans chapter 7? He says, look at me, this horrible, wicked man. Who can save me from this life of death and this body of death? I thank God in Jesus Christ, there's no condemnation. And then he goes on and it talks about Jesus. And then he says, but thee have been given this wonderful gift of being able to call to God, Father, loving Father, through who? Through the Holy Spirit that lives in us. The fact that I know the Father, the fact that I know Jesus, that I've given my life to Jesus, is all because of his Holy Spirit that lives in me and breathes in me. And here's the cool thing. When he's called a ghost or a spirit, you know the word spirit in Greek is pneuma. You know, pneumatic tires. Tires that have wind in them. Pneuma. The wind of God. That's why Jesus says the wind blows. You can't stop it. He just blows right in. But pneuma is also breath. And when God made us little clay people, he breathed the wind, the breath, and the life of the Spirit of God into this little clay man. And the moment he breathed his breath, it became life. Life that can worship and love and care. And as you love and as you show your goodness and your kindness and your self-control and your mercy, you'll taste the fruit that comes from the one who lives in you. But here's a little thing about the Spirit, and this is another example I've used, but it's the best I have. When the Spirit comes to you, he's like Jesus. He doesn't just jump in you and overwhelm you. He knocks. Can I come have a little time with you? And when you let him in, maybe you just put him in your little parlor for a moment because it's nice and clean and fancy, never used. And you feel safe with him there. And he says, that's pretty cool. I'm going to sit here. And as you go to make coffee in your messy kitchen, you'll just take the duster and dust a little dust off the parlor that's never used. Maybe you'll open the curtains and open the window and little wind comes in. And maybe he moves a little chair. You come back and say, oh my goodness, Holy Spirit, that's pretty cool. Wow, I never thought it could look like that. And all of a sudden, my little parlor is cool. And you say, you know, my kitchen's quite a mess. Would you mind to come have a look at that? And of course, he says yes. And he goes in the kitchen, he says, it's quite a mess. But there's nothing that we can't fix. And he helps you. And he rearranges the kitchen and he gets the dirty dishes in the dishwasher. And the next thing you know, the kitchen is just really perfect. And you say, that's enough for now. And he'll say, that's fine. I got the kitchen. I got the parlor. And slowly, slowly, he breathes. And I open the doors. And I open the doors. And less of me and more of him is seen. In the way that I love you, in the way that I walk with you, in the way that I speak to you, in the way that I care for you. Because my old man doesn't do that. The one who is filled with the Spirit has become a new person in Jesus Christ. So can we continue, and I don't mean come up, can we continue singing that song? Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come fill this place. Come change the atmosphere. Come, Holy Spirit. Can we pray that for this church every day? This is a Spirit-filled church. I'm always a little envious of the Pentecostals because they say we're a Pentecostal church filled with the Spirit. Well, can I tell you something? We're a Pentecostal church. Because we're filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit of God is welcome in this place to do his work when lives are changed, it's the Spirit of God. When people are made new, it's the Spirit of God. When we grow stronger and closer together, it's the Spirit of God. When we work and we do a project, thank you, Peter, and your team, it's the Spirit of God that brings us together. Not because we want to fix a building, because we want to say thank you that we have a building where we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for blessing us. But can we become so strong in the Spirit that we start trusting Him in everything, in our prayers, allowing the Spirit to move? We'll pray for $10. Why? God says, why don't you pray for $10,000? Right? Allow the Spirit to make you bold and brave, because He's bold. There's nothing that stops Him. There's nothing that can stop what the Spirit wants to do. So this is my prayer for us. May the Spirit of God change us. May the Spirit of God fill us. May the Spirit of God overflow this place to the glory and the honor of our Lord. Because the more we're filled, the more the world will see and experience. Let me end. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Come to me, and I will teach you the rhythms that are unforced of life. Come walk with me. Let the music of the Spirit take over. When you're struggling, listen to the music. When you're down, listen to the music. When you're overjoyed, dance to the music. Amen. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son. For when that old chasm was so huge that we could not cross that to get to you, you came, Lord Jesus, and through your life and your sacrifice, you brought us to the Father again. And then you gave the amazing gift of your own Holy Spirit to live in us, through us, to guide us, to teach us, to intercede for us. O helper of God, O intercessor, O advocate, thank you for being with us. Thank you for putting your arm around us when we need it, for carrying us when we need it, for dancing with us, making your music in our lives. We adore you and we love you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.